content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to our December 2024 edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information on how to do that later in the program. This program is all about books available from the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and talking books as well. The library also has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. And if you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of the program as well. This month, we'll look at some of the most popular books checked out in the month of November at the State Library of North Carolina, Accessible Books and Library Services. We began the program this month with a very popular author named J.D. Robb, and this is a new book entitled Passions in Death. Homicide detective Eve Dallas hunts a killer who turns a wedding party into a murder scene in the latest novel by the number one New York Times bestselling author J.D. Robb. Here's the plot. On a hot August night, Lieutenant Eve Dallas and her husband Rourke speed through the streets of Manhattan to the Down and Dirty Club, where a joyful, boisterous pre-wedding girls' night out has turned into a murder scene. One of the brides lies in a pool of blood, garroted in a private room where she was preparing a surprise for her fiancé. Two scrimped and saved for tickets to Hawaii. Well, despite the dozens of people present, useful witnesses are hard to come by. It all brings back some bad memories for Eve. In her uniform days, she'd suffered an assault in the very same room, but she'd been able to fight back and survive. She'd gotten justice, and now she needs to provide some for poor young Aaron. Eve knows that the level of violence and the apparent premeditation involved suggest a volatile mix of hidden, heated passion and ice-cold calculation. This is a crime that can be countered only by hard detective work and relentless dedication, and Eve will not stop until she finds the killer who destroyed this couple's dreams before the honeymoon even began. Once again, the name of this book is Passions in Death, and it's by J.D. Robb. Now let's turn to a book, also a new one, from a very popular author, Nicholas Sparks. The book is entitled Counting Miracles. And this is from that acclaimed author of The Longest Ride and The Notebook. It's an emotional, powerful novel about wondering if we can change or even make our peace with the path that we've taken. Here's the plot for this one. It's called Counting Miracles. Tanner Hughes was raised by his grandparents, following in his grandfather's military footsteps to become an Army Ranger. His whole life has been spent abroad, and he is the proverbial Rolling Stone, happiest when off on his next adventure, zero desire to settle down. But when his grandmother passes away, her last words of him are, "Find where you belong." She also drops a bombshell, telling him the name of the father he never knew and where to find him. Tanner is due at his next posting soon, but his curiosity is piqued, and he sets out for Asheboro, North Carolina, to ask around. He's been in town less than 24 hours when he meets Caitlin Cooper, a doctor and single mom. They both feel an immediate connection. Tanner knows Caitlin has a story to tell, and he wants to hear it. To Caitlin, Tanner is mysterious, exciting, and possibly leaving in just a few weeks. Meanwhile, nearby 83-year-old Jasper lives alone in a cabin bordering a national forest. With only his old dog Arlo for company, he lives quietly, haunted by a tragic accident that took place decades before. When he hears rumors that a white deer has been spotted in the forest, a creature of legend that inspired his father and grandfather, he becomes obsessed with protecting the deer from poachers. As these characters' fates orbit closer together, none of them is expecting a miracle. But that may be exactly what is about to alter their futures forever. Once again, the book is called Counting Miracles by the very popular author Nicholas Sparks. Now let's turn to another new novel. This one is entitled The Christmas Inn, and it's by Pamela M. Kelly. Explore this delightfully cozy and joyful novel of second chances at the most wonderful time of the year. It's from the USA Today best-selling author Pamela Kelly. A feel-good novel as delightful and comforting as a cup of hot chocolate on a cold winter's night. The Christmas Inn is best-selling author Pamela Kelly's most heartwarming and magical book yet. Riley Sanders didn't plan on losing her job as a content marketing manager right before Christmas. When she calls her sister Amy to vent, she learns that their mother has broken her leg and could really use some help at the inn. Riley decides to head home to the inn, nestled along the shores of Cape Cod, in time for the Christmas rush. She is happy to help and needs something to distract her as mistletoe is hung and snowflakes begin to fall. When she gets there, she not only finds delicious cookies and a crackling fire to lift her spirits, but also the sense of family she's been missing all along. There's Franny, a woman who has just lost her sister and has four unopened letters from her that she plans to use to open her up to new experiences on the Cape. And then there's Aiden, her high school sweetheart, now a widower, who is staying at the inn with his 9-year-old son, Luke. What begins as a quick stay over the holidays to help her mom turn into something that means much more, a second chance at romance, a deeper sense of found family, and all the joy and wonder that comes with Christmas time on Cape Cod. Once again, this sounds like a wonderful holiday novel. It's called The Christmas Inn, and it is by Pamela Kelly. Now a book called The Shadow of Doubt. It was written by Brad Thor. In a world shrouded in shadows where doubt is the only weapon, can one spy expose the truth? Number one New York Times and number one Wall Street Journal best-selling author Brad Thor delivers his latest high-octane thriller. Here's the plot. A mysterious cargo plane flanked by a squadron of Russia's most lethal fighters has just taken off from a remote airbase. Closely monitored by the United States, no one inside the Pentagon has any idea where it's going or what it's carrying. A high-level Russian defector, a walking vault of secrets that could shatter the West, seeks asylum in Norway. Across the continent, in the heart of Paris, a lone French agent stumbles upon a conspiracy so explosive it could ignite a global firestorm. As alarm bells ring in Washington, America's top spy, Scott Harvath, is forced to choose between his conscience and his country. You'll be left breathless as Harvath is swept into a whirlwind of double agents, international intrigue, and heart-stopping chases. This sounds like a pretty exciting book. It's called The Shadow of Doubt by Brad Thor. Our next book on the program today is called Any Sunday, and it's by Debbie McComber, whose books we have talked about for the past couple of years many, many times. She's very popular. A fiercely independent young woman takes a leap of faith by trusting a charming physician in this delightful novel from number one New York Times bestselling author Debbie McComber. Marjorie Majors has not been to a doctor since she was 14 years old, and she'd like to keep it that way. As far as she is concerned, she has always been perfectly fine on her own. Marjorie doesn't need or want anyone to take care of her. But when an unbearable case of appendicitis becomes too much to bear, Marjorie begrudgingly gives in, reluctant as ever. Enter Dr. Sam Breton, who is just as warm and friendly as he is handsome. It turns out that Sam's bedside manner can inspire confidence in anyone. And as he and Marjorie get to know one another, their friendship clearly has the potential to become something more. Yet Marjorie's old defiant ways still linger, and she can't help but hesitate to let a man into her heart. Will her stubbornness threaten to end her love story before it has even begun? There's only one way to find out. Read or listen to Any Sunday by Debbie McComber. Now, another book that sounds like a little bit more serious in nature here. This is called The House at the End of the World by Dean Koontz. A moody tone hangs like a cloud over the alarming but vague danger awaiting the world. A tragedy has sent a young artist into seclusion. A potential apocalypse may be enough to bring her back. For the past 2 years, 10 months, and 18 days, Katie has lived in darkness, on retreat from her former life as a rising artist after a personal tragedy eclipsed any happiness she believed possible. Jacob's Ladder, a remote island named by a former resident for its potential as a stairway to heaven, offers Katie the chance to hide from the rest of the world, merely existing, not healing. She lives each day trying to fulfill what she calls the promise to those in the life she once knew, though a promise of what is not clear. The closest neighboring islands, Oak Haven and Ring Rock, are equally cloistered. Though Katie's realtor has suggested that Ring Rock is some sort of Environmental Protection Agency research station, Katie's cynicism makes her suspect something more nefarious. The protagonist's remote world and the author's moody writing are disrupted one night by the startling appearance of drones and the suspicious behavior of a fox Katie's dubbed Michael J. Now, the wary canine serves as a harbinger of potential danger, and Katie responds by arming herself to the hilt when unexpected guests descend on Jacob's Ladder. While the true purpose of these visitors is unclear, Katie senses that the greater world is at the precipice of permanent collapse, and that she may be the only one who can prevent the impending apocalypse. A moody tone hangs like a cloud over the alarming but vague danger awaiting the world. Once again, this book is called The House at the End of the World, and it's by Dean Koontz. And you're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately, an exclusive presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. So nice to have you with us on this December program. Hope you're getting ready for Christmas and have a wonderful holiday as well. Now let's move on to a book called The Wild Side by Fern Michaels. A seemingly ordinary guidance counselor goes undercover as a high-class escort to bring down a dangerous network of ruthless and powerful men in a gripping new standalone page-turner from Fern Michaels. The season's must-read for fans of Nora Roberts, Danielle Steele, James Patterson, and Janet Ivanovich. Here's the plot for this one, The Wild Side. For Melanie Drake, school guidance counselor in a small Virginia town, the day's challenges typically involve a playground scuffle or a student skipping school. It's worlds away from her previous career as a vital part of the Office of Special Investigations. There, she devoted herself heart and soul to covert operations. The riskier, the better. Since leaving, Melanie has cherished her peaceful, calm existence with her two beloved retired service dogs for company. Then, a call comes from her former supervisor, Rich Patterson. He needs her back for a highly specialized assignment. An international group of billionaires is known to meet regularly for decadent dinners, and they always hire high-class escorts for the occasion. Only the most elegant, well-educated, and sophisticated women will do. Infiltrating those meetings could yield information vital to national security. Melanie's loyalty is indisputable. She's willing to pose as an escort and glean every scrap of intel that she can. But these men aren't just wealthy and powerful. They're also exceptionally ruthless. One slip, and they won't hesitate to eliminate Melanie by any means necessary. Once again, the name of this book is The Wild Side, and it was written by Fern Michaels. Next, we'll turn to a relatively new book by William Kent Krueger. It's called Spirit Crossing. William Kent Krueger offers one of his most puzzling mysteries to date, as a disappearance and a dead body put Cork O'Connor's family in the crosshairs of a killer. Here's the plot for this one. The disappearance of a local politician's teenage daughter is major news in Minnesota, as a huge manhunt is launched to find her. Cork O'Connor's grandson stumbles across the shallow grave of a young Ojibwe woman. But nobody seems that interested, nobody that is, except Cork and the newly formed Iron Lake Ojibwe Tribal Police. As Cork and the tribal officers dig into the circumstances of this mysterious and grim discovery, they uncork a connection to the missing teenager, and soon it's clear that Cork's grandson is in danger of being the killer's next victim in this white-knuckled mystery from a master storyteller at the top of his game. Once again, this is a book called Spirit Crossing, and it was written by William Kent Krueger. Now it's time for another good murder mystery. This is a book that's entitled We Solve Murders, and it's by Richard Osman, who was the number one best-selling author of the Thursday Murder Club series. You may have read a couple of his books. This is a brand new mystery, an iconic new detective duo, and a thrilling new murder to solve. Steve Wheeler is enjoying retired life. He still does the odd bit of investigation work, but he prefers his family routines, the pub quiz, his favorite bench, his cat waiting for him at home. His days of adventure are over. Adrenaline is daughter-in-law Amy's job now. Amy Wheeler thinks adrenaline is good for the soul. Working in private security every day is dangerous. She's currently on a remote island protecting mega best-selling author Rosie D'Antonio until a dead body and a bag of money mean trouble in paradise. So she sends an SOS to the only person she trusts. As a thrilling race around the world begins, can Amy and Steve outrun and outsmart a killer? Well, you'll have to read or listen to the book to find out. Solving murders turns out to be a family business in this family. This is a book called We Solve Murders, and it's by Richard Osman. Now let's take a look at a popular book by the writing duo Jonathan and Jesse Kellerman. This is called The Lost Coast. Father and son Kellerman collaborate on the fifth Clay Edison PI adventure. Here's the plot for this one. On Northern California's Lost Coast, the executor of a woman's estate needs help sorting out some curious monthly payments the deceased had been making. Having had no luck with one private investigator, she asks Oakland ex-cop turned PI Clay Edison. Soon, the original PI, Regina Klein, bawls him out in bleep-worthy terms for horning in on her case. But they form a temporary alliance to solve a complicated plot that's rife with peril. It looks like someone is running a real estate scam on an isolated location on the Lost Coast called Swan's Flat. A narrow and dangerous road twists and turns to the destination, and Clay sideswipes a teenage cyclist on a hairpin turn. The girl, Shasta, doesn't blame Clay for her minor injuries, and she becomes a key in a story that's peppered with vivid descriptions. Clay sees the Pacific coast baring its teeth. It was a crude, axe-hewn land, bunched like the front end of a head-on collision. And Regina is one of an abundance of well-drawn, entertaining characters, and she has a gift for acting and easily switches from garbage mouth to sweetness and light as the situation calls for. As a pretend married couple, they go to Swan's Flat and let a BS artist named Bo try to sell them property in this private residential community. Find your heart on the Lost Coast. Well, Clay checks in frequently with his real wife, Amy, who's at home with their two kids. He even consults with her on how much risk he should take. They are a loving family, apparently devoid of flaws. Meanwhile, a one-hit wonder novelist can't be found, and another young man is missing. Years earlier, Shasta's dad had fallen into oblivion off a cliff so high you couldn't hear the thump at the bottom. Maybe it was an accident, or maybe not. And maybe Pop won't be the cliff's last victim. Crisp, witty dialogue zips this well-paced story along so that when violence happens, it comes as a shock. Kellerman fans will certainly love this one. It's a book called The Lost Coast, and it was written by Jonathan and Jesse Kellerman. Now let's take a look at a book by Daniel Silva. It's called A Death in Cornwall. It's a review by Lorraine Shanley done in July of this year. Starting with the brutal murder of Oxford professor and art historian Charlotte Blake in an English coastal village, A Death in Cornwall soon expands into an international thriller whose protagonists cross Europe in search of the truth behind this perplexing death. Gabriel Allon, once an Israeli intelligence officer and now an art restorer who had lived in this same seaside village, is asked by the British police to help with the investigation. When he determines that the provenance of a Picasso painting is at the bottom of Charlotte's murder, Gabriel must follow the clues through Marseille, Corsica, Monte Carlo, and finally in London. He is joined by a team of trusted operatives and colleagues, including Christopher Kelly and Sarah Bancroft, whom readers of previous installments of this series will remember. While the term caper might be used to describe the first half of this well-crafted suspense novel, as databases are hacked, villains are run off the road, and forged paintings are secreted into the high-security Geneva Freeport. The second half reveals a darker plot that seems ripped from the pages of recent international scandals. It involves huge sums of money hidden behind shell companies and the billionaires and oligarchs who keep law firms and financial institutions afloat while politicians turn a blind eye. It also highlights the role that journalists play in revealing these machinations, which is no surprise given Daniel Silva's own background as a journalist and a TV producer. Meanwhile, longtime readers will notice that Gabriel Allen has evolved into a multidimensional character. While able to stay one step ahead of a swarm of antagonists, he has a solid reputation in the art world and a real affection and appreciation for his many friends there, as well as for his faithful allies and, of course, his family. Similarly, Silva effortlessly juggles a series of plot twists while homing in on a range of serious topics, from the motivations of those who buy, and in some cases steal, art, to the role of dark money in many countries' finances and politics. A Death in Cornwall is the 24th entry in this best-selling series, and undoubtedly and deservedly will follow its predecessors to the number one spot. This is a review written by Lorraine W. Shanley in July of 2024, and of course, A Death in Cornwall was written by Daniel Silva. And that's just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately? I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed the program today. If you would like more information about how to become a patron of the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services, simply Google or search for Accessible Books, North Carolina Library, or you can call toll-free 888-388-2460. Once again, that's 888-388-2460. Now, you can also use those same numbers and website to join the Friends of the State Library of North Carolina Accessible Books and Library Services. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. And I hope you've enjoyed the program this year. We'll be back with more in the month of January. I hope you and your family have a wonderful Christmas and a very happy New Year. The program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. So long until next time in 2025. I'm George Douglas. Thanks again for listening.